Hey everybody, Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com here, and we are on stage with the legendary Brad Whitford, who's going to walk us through the guitars, the pedals, the amps you're using on the latest Aerosmith tour.
Correct.
And we're here in Milwaukee for the show tonight. So why don't you first tell us about the guitar you have on here. This is a new acquisition for you, and tell us how you're digging it and what you like about it.
Well, I just got it, and I was very intrigued when I read about it, which was literally only a few days ago, and I thought somebody sure got a lot of a chutzpah to actually call a guitar a game changer. So I was really intrigued by it, and I was like, well, I got to see if this truly is a game changer or if it's just another. We made a couple of phone calls, and then I called Steve Luca, they're my good friend, and before I could even blink an eye, the thing was here. I got it Monday night of the Detroit show and played it that night and absolutely loved it. It's an awesome guitar. I don't know, you got one, so you know it'll do a lot of amazing combinations of these pickups, and it's totally outrageous. I absolutely love it. Brilliant vibrato. It's got a Buzzy Phaeton type nut on it, so the guitar stays, there's no issues on the G string or the B string at all. It just, every chord is absolutely spot on all the way up and down the neck. Anyways, game changer. It's f***ing awesome. Excuse me. It's awesome. Oh, this is not a censored show, right? This is a brand new, and I mean brand new, 58 VOS. One of the reasons, it almost looks exactly, and I mean exactly, I wish I had the photo with me, like my 59 top. And the two of them together, you almost couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. It's a...
Sound-wise, are they very similar too?
They are. This is the reason I got this one overall is because of the sound of it. It just rang so... I didn't even plug it into an amp. I could just tell acoustically that it was so loud and it rang so well. It's a 58 VOS, and it's a chambered guitar. I never liked the chambered guitars, but apparently now they're doing it a different way to enhance the tonality of the guitar. It really reduces the weight, which is great. It weighs absolutely nothing, as you can see, for a Les Paul.
Exactly nothing.
It's almost like a Stratocaster, and it is indeed my new favorite Les Paul.
And what tunes do you play that one on, maybe from night to night?
I've been using that... the bulk of the tour, actually. So you'll see it on a few songs. This is like becoming my new number one favorite. Marco, my Tex, this is his guitar. And of course, this is the vintage. What year is this?
67.
It's a 67 12 string. And although I haven't used it, I've been tempted to use it on Crying, which I originally tracked with a 12 string. But it's just been sitting here waiting for me to play it if I want. this Strat here is an Eric Johnson model. It's the first version that he did. I have that, and I have the second version he did with a bound neck. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the best Strats that they've done in a long time. And the guys at Fender told me, unlike most people come and do a signature Strat, most people come in to have lunch, they spend the afternoon at Fender, measure their guitar with the lasers and all that, and then recreate it. Eric actually spent 2 weeks at the factory building this.
He wanted to make sure every detail was right.
Every detail. And it's absolutely a phenomenal guitar. The only thing I changed in it is the pickups are DiMarzio pickups.
Blues 2, these are DiMarzio. That's an Area 61 and an Area 61.
And these DiMarzios are absolutely mind-blowing. Eric Johnson, if you notice, he has a DiMarzio in one of his Strats. And when we were doing the Experience Hendrix tour, he really loved the way these DiMarzios sound.
Are they a little hotter than the ones that came with it?
I think they're a little bit hotter, but the beauty of them is that they're noiseless.
Oh, yeah.
They're noiseless, but they really are very, very close sound to a stock Strat pickup. A little bit beefier. This is a 62, obviously a...
Original 62?
No. This is a reissue that... that I got from Fender. Those guys, they always take such great care of me. And this, I believe, is outfitted with the same pickups as the Eric Johnson. Again, noiseless, I can pump it into, 400 watts if I want, and it won't hum. The Echo Park, which you're familiar with.
Yep.
I just got this in LA. We were in the studio. And he was desperate for me to try this guitar. We used it on the new album quite extensively. Kind of like a Les Paul, incredibly beefy neck, but an amazing guitar.
It's a downtowner, right?
It's a downtowner, and the cool thing about what he does is he finds old, real old wood, a lot of times from antique furniture and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what he builds his instruments with. And of course, it's the wood that makes the difference in all guitars. I have several Tom Murphys when it comes to vintage reissues. It's pretty hard to...
Hard to beat.
Pretty hard to beat something that Tom puts together.
Now, with all your guitars here, are there certain ones that tend to pop up a lot on certain songs, or is it kind of a free-for-all, whichever way ever you're kind of feeling from song to song, night to night?
It's a little bit night to night. I'm pretty straightforward with what we're doing now. These are almost interchangeable. They both sound beautiful, these Strats. So I can pick out either one, and they both sound pretty nice. This gold top is a 58 Custom Shop reissue, and it just happened to be one of those ones that came out beautifully. Mm-hmm. Goodwood.
Yeah. Godwood. And then there's also the Fillmore, I think, is that one.
Mm-hmm. And they were named basically after live concert sounds. He tried to recreate certain players.
So the Fillmore, maybe a Duane Allman style?
Fillmore, I think, is a Duane Allman style. The Goodwood. Obviously, I named after the festival, and I forget which player he was trying to emulate. But he makes an awesome, awesome pickup. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Another Les Paul. This one is also from the same place the other one came from. It's from the Guitar Center in the Platinum Room in Nashville. And I swear to get the nicest instruments there, because the factory's right down the street, so it's kind of a showcase. This is a brand new Tele that I got from Fender last fall, and it is bone stock, the way it came. and this thing just rocks.
Do you prefer maple necks on tellies or more rosewood fingerboards?
I don't have a preference, really. If I like the way it feels in my hands, I really don't care what it's made out of. Great guitar. Then we were in the studio. We were looking for just some different tonal approaches. And I really wanted to get a casino. And so I called them up. And spoke to them. And next thing I knew, I had this. And I do use this live. Use it a lot in the studio. Use it on Joe Bonamassa's record. Mm-hmm. Used it on the Aerosmith record. This is one of the spares to it.
Pretty stock. You haven't really changed much.
I haven't changed anything. They're beautiful guitars. It's got that classic. This was the either John Lennon or Paul McCartney called their favorite electric guitar of all time. They do a fabulous job of redoing. This is the, I think, called the John Lennon model. So this one has all the beautiful finish work on and all the goodies.
And what song in the set might you use the Epiphones on?
I use on I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. So I do a lot of arpeggiated things on that, and it just cuts, mm-hmm. It cuts through the mix real nice. I actually had an original Mary Kay, a 56, which unfortunately I had to sell at one point in my career. And another one of those things I kicked myself in the butt for. This one was not officially a Mary Kay reissue. Before they started doing that, they just started making these as one-offs. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that has one too. So it was basically done just like a Mary Kay, but before they did the reissue of it. And this was all set up with the same pickup configuration.
DiMarzio's.
Again, for just great tone and complete quiet. Straps are all from Soldier. And the straps are made from the original stock of all the stuff that we all saw people using in the 60s. Everybody from Clapton to Page to Beck. She found this stuff that in this warehouse. It was still sitting there all these years. She discovered it there and started making the old style straps again. So it's great because I can go look at old pictures from old Cream magazines and all that sort of thing, and you'll see all these straps and all the old photos. Oh, I think it's great. These are all Ernie Ball strings.
Yeah. Tens?
I think they're all tens. 11s on this, I think, yeah. And I think everything else is tens. Goes into the tuner first. And then we have one of Peter Frampton's Framtone amp selectors, mm-hmm. Although we don't really, we're basically using 3 amps and they stay on all the time.
Oh, okay.
But it is a good way to get, it's a very nice piece of equipment. This is all new kind of to the system where it's actually on, some of it is MIDI.
This is the Voodoo Labs pedal switcher. Mm-hmm. There's 3 of them here. They have 4 loops each. They have a nice buffering choice between those inputs there. There's also an effect. There's like a send insert, but we're not using that. But then a MIDI connection happens between the first one to the second one, the second one to the third one, the third one to this switch, which is called the pedal commander, which gives the possibility of 10 different loops that change.
So they can be presets for songs to turn on multiple pedals at once.
Yeah. So here's the Rook pedal, the big favorite, plus the Echo, this first flashback TC, then, or the second one. So you can get to the dry signal. You can do things, whatever you want to do out here too, and then get back to dry.
Set it up virtually any way I want.
Less wear and tear on the pedals themselves also. The fact that this switch is turning, everything's pretty much on and then you can just get it into loop. They're two bypass loops, so that helps a lot. Because before these were here on this pedal board, you'd have to depend on a certain string of pedals. If one was not acting, you know, like it should, having problems, then the whole thing has a problem. This way, if there's one pedal with a problem that one day,
swap it out.
Or you know it's having a problem, turn it off, and now you don't have to, you can fix it later, or you know, at a better time.
Really, it's kind of taking the place of my Klon, which I love too, is a great pedal. But this one, not quite as transparent as the Klon, but it's untransparent in a beautiful way. It adds just a great degree of fatness to the sound. It's, I guess, very similar in a way to the fat pedal. But you have a little more tonal control here, and you have a three-position toggle switch for different levels of the gain that you want, and they sound significantly different. This is new to us, this sustainer. We're just trying this one out, and this works very nice. It also has, if you want, you can switch on. It has actually a gain thing on it,
mm-hmm.
and you can run it just as a sustainer or sustainer and gain. We also have the distortion, which is one of my, I've been using this for a long time. These things are great. It's got an overdrive. Right next to it is a fuzz with its own separate controls. And then it also has an octave feature to it. So it's kind of like Hendrix in a box, that mm-hmm. pedal. TC Electronics, one of my favorite pieces of gear forever. This is one of their new version of a pedal I used to use for many years. It's just kind of a clean boost. But this one has a lot more stuff on it now. It's got an extra boost in it. It's got an EQ switch. You can kind of fatten up the middle in it, run it flat. Nicely made stuff. And then when they came out with these, I used to have this is basically a 2290, which used to be a 3-inch rack space
mm-hmm.
Piece of gear. Now it's pretty much inside these pedals.
And is one a short delay, one a long delay? Is that how you have them set up?
Yeah, well they're kind of similar. I'm still experimenting with, number one is my favorite. And I also have their flanger, which I love the sound of. Their chorus and their reverb pedal, which is real nice. Then we got the full tone. I think that's a full tone super trim. We have several of these even tide pedals, but I think I'm going to have to go to Stanford before I can figure out how to fucking work it. We got a full tone wah, which I use on occasion.
Eric?
And then, of course, the tube driver, which is one of the very, very new ones. And I'm still learning how to operate that for the best way for my sound.
Did Eric hip you to that as well?
Well, you know, I mean, Eric's been using them forever. And, of course, he's got some of the older ones are very cool. This is a new one. I have another new one. It actually has an additional bias control on it. I'm still trying to figure it out to get it to work the way I want it to work. So still kind of playing with that one. But they're also, obviously, if anything Eric Johnson uses, you know it's going to work. It's just a matter of finding what your own personal thing for.
And finally, tell me about these two Fender amps you have sitting here next to your pedal board.
These are just a little bit of my own personal monitoring. It just gives me my guitar signal coming back up here if I want to. It's just a little extra ear candy. Kind of fills the space.
Does the signal coming out, is that affected or just straight guitar amps?
It hears everything that the main amps are here, and so.
We know your affiliation with Three Monkeys and how much you dig those amps, so it's no surprise you brought a lot of these out on tour. So tell us a little bit about the specific Three Monkeys amps you're bringing out.
This one here is the Grease Monkey. That one's like the AC30.
So it's EL84 tubes?
It is 84s. This is somewhere between, I think, 30 and 40 watts. Three Monkeys cabinet underneath it.
We're getting a few 10-inch speakers to go in each of these, so there'll be four 10s, and we'll experiment with the Grease Monkey and also maybe the BW-119 or maybe a Virgil Three Monkey amp. So it's kind of like a 210 cab idea that might be in addition to the main three down below.
And are these four 10s, four 12s down on below?
412 with greenbacks.
This is my drink holder.
It's a really nice one.
And it holds my picks and everything. Right underneath that is a one-of-a-kind PRS. That this particular amp, Paul had two favorite amps. They're so much his favorite, he kept them at his house. This one he brought out of his house for me on Tuesday morning and let me take it with me. Now, it's still a little bit unsure whether he's going to build me an exact copy of this or he's going to let me keep this. But this is...
What can you bribe him with?
Whatever it takes, you know. You know, I've known Paul for years, and he's been fabs. I was his first endorser. It's basically a Marshall-type sound, only it's kind of like a Dream Marshall. So it's like, this is a holy grail amp, without a doubt. This Three Monkeys is we call it the BW-119 for me. And this...
What's the 119 signify?
The 119 is the output. It's 119 on 6L6s. This is EL34s. Another BW-119, same deal. Another Three Monkeys amp. These come with 212s, and we're playing with that. Well, what you're primarily going to hear tonight is this Paul Reed Smith, and then come around the corner. That 4x12 there is powered by this Paul Reed Smith, which is the new HX-DA. Also 100 watts. This is a new amp for Paul, and it's meant to you can do quite a few. It's got some micro switches here. He's tried to emulate, once again, Dwayne Allman's tone, which you can very easily do with this amp. But they're just spectacular. I think they're maybe one of the finest amps built. I literally just picked these up on Tuesday from Paul's factory. He's actually, since I left, he's built me, he has another amp called the Blister Tone. He's already built me a 100-watt version of that, which I will see in about 7 days from now. When we get back from Canada, it's going to be waiting for me in Boston. Finally, last but not least, is the Twin Reverb Custom. And it's a custom amp because it comes with a 15-inch speaker instead of 212s.
What do you like more about the 15-inch speaker over the 212s?
I fell in love with some of the guys that used 15s over the years. Stevie Ray Vaughan, of course, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And I got one of my sons a Vibro Verb. I think it's a Vibro Verb. They came either 210s or with a 15. And we just love the way the 15 sounded. It's got that big, fat Texas tone, if you want it. We actually don't use the speaker in it. We actually customized that cabinet and put a 15-inch warehouse from Warehouse in that. And the twin sound comes out of that center cabinet. And that's set for a much... It just gives it, it's a very clean sound, but it has beautiful, clear, wonderful low end, and you know, I don't know what else to say about that. You know, it's Fender.
Right.
Just more spares.
That's right. So are these ones used on the album?
I used some of these on the record. There's another BW-119 there. I think this is a Grease Monkey. And this is a Virgil. And we just carry them with us just in case. We probably have too many spares with us now, but we'll straighten that out. When we get a little bit closer to home, we can dump some stuff off in the warehouse. But, yeah, that's it. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Brad, for taking the time.
Jason,
thanks to you. Thanks to Marco as well, his guitar tech. This is Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com.